All right, thank you everyone for coming. And here we go again. I apologize for the confusion. I posted the wrong Zoom room in the most recent chat, but I think now hopefully everyone who wants to be here is here. Thank you for coming. And all I mentioned was that each year I try to give a shiur on something related to the Machzor in advance of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. The Machzor has prayers that we often only see once or twice a year, or three times a year. So there's a lot to learn, review, understand better and deeper. As I was flipping through the Machzor yesterday, though, I mentioned that I ended up deciding to speak about a line in the Machzor that we actually say all year long, not just on Rosh Hashanah, not just in Yom Kippur, but really every single day. But I think it also has a special connection to the Machzor, and therefore, I would like to discuss that line, and I hope it gives us something to think about on Rosh Hashanah, on the Yom Ha'Noraim, and really all year long. I mentioned a quote, which is attributed to some Hasidic Rebbe. I don't know who. And I don't know if he actually said it, but I like it anyway. That there was one Rebbe who used to say that before I daven that I should be able to daven properly. That before he even begins to daven, he davens that his davening should go well. We all know that davening is not such a simple thing and doesn't come automatically, it doesn't come easily. And therefore, it makes sense that just like we daven for everything that we want to go well in our lives, we should daven that our davening should go well in our lives. We know the Gemara in Brachos, which says that the Chassidim Rishonim, the early pious ones, used to sit for an hour before even beginning their davening. Maybe that's part of what they were doing. Maybe that was their davening, that their davening should be a good davening. And if it sounds a little bit silly or a little bit funny, the truth is that we all do that every single day, every single time that we daven, every single time we say Shmoneh Esrei. Before we actually begin the words, Baruch Atah Hashem, the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, we all say, Hashem, Sefasai Tiftach Ufi Yagid Tehillasecha. Hashem, open my lips so that my mouth can speak your praises. Before we begin to daven, we ask Hashem that he should give us the ability that our davening should be a good davening. And that's the line that I'd like to focus on tonight. What should we be thinking about? What are we really asking Hashem for? When we ask him each time we say Shemoneh Esrei, that he should open my lips and that I should be able to speak properly. And I'd like to suggest three possible understandings of what we should focus on when we say this line, Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, Ufi Yagid Tehillasecha. Really, all three of them can again apply all year round in addition to just Rosh Hashanah, but especially the third interpretation. Is something that is specially uniquely connected to the tefillah of the Machzor, to one of the most beautiful and sometimes most, I don't know, underrated or passed over tefillahs in the Machzor that you could blink and miss it. But if we spend a few minutes thinking about it, we'll realize how profound it really is. And I mentioned that if we have time, hopefully at the end, I wanted to share a just a 3-minute clip of a song related to this tefillah. Which helped me at least this morning when I was listening to it, get in the mood of the davening for Rosh Hashanah, and I hope it will help you too. So, what should we be thinking about when we say Hashem Sefasai Tiftach Ufi Yagid Tehillasecha? I would say suggestion number one, which is the simplest, and probably what I always assumed, and when I am thinking and having kavana, this is what I generally think about. It is, and sort of as we mentioned before, that we know davening is very hard to stay focused. Even if we prepare ourselves, and even if we're in the proper mindset, and even if we if it's a day when we wake up on the right side of the bed and we have energy, or even if it's Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, where you've been thinking about and preparing on, and we understand the significance. It is very hard to stay focused, just as a human being, even for one entire Shemoneh Esrei from beginning to end. Maybe it's just me. I don't know, but I have a hunch that I'm not the only one who sometimes ends up having my mind wander to different places. And on the simplest level, it even takes a certain amount of effort and kavana just to make sure we're doing the right thing. We're saying the right thing. I remember there was one year on Rosh Hashanah, and it's like I have a little almost like PTSD from it that I make sure that at least that mistake hasn't happened again. Where on the Maariv on Rosh Hashanah, I said, Atakadosh, Shimcha Kadosh, Groshim Bechol Yom Yaluchazela. And then I just went straight in, Baruch Atah Hashem Akel HaKadosh. I missed all those paragraphs of Uvichein Tein Pachtecha. I missed Hamelach HaKadosh. I had to go back and repeat the first Shemona Esrei of the year. And it was a terrible feeling, even though, you know what, if it happens, and it happened. It happened to me. It probably happened to you. It will probably happen to me again. It'll probably happen to you again. And that's why there's rules of what to do if you forget. And it's not the end of the world. It's really not that big a deal. But what it did to me was show me how quickly it took me to space out and just to go right back into the routine of Shemona Esrei without thinking about what am I supposed to be saying today? It's Rosh Hashanah. Am I inserting the right additions? Am I saying Amelech HaKadosh? Am I saying Zachreinu L'chaim? Am I saying what I'm supposed to be saying? It takes tremendous focus just to get all of that right. But of course, it's more than that. It's more than just saying the right words. But it's about having real kavanah, having real focus. What do the words mean that I'm saying? Even on Rosh Hashanah, you can just, reading through the Hebrew, pause for a second and think about, do I actually know what the words that I just said mean? We use, most of us in English Hebrew Master, it's worth looking over at the English site to make sure that we have kavanah, that we actually know what we're saying. And even beyond that, just knowing what we're saying is one level of kavanah, but also being able to apply it to my own life. How do these words affect me, personalizing my tefillos? What am I actually thanking Hashem for? What am I actually asking Hashem for? Focusing on how the tefillah affects my heart, that tefillah is avodah shebelev, something that's supposed to be internalized and with emotion and connection to my heart. So on the simplest level, before we begin Shemona Esrei, and listen, all of tefillah is hard to stay focused for, but Shemona Esrei, which is the, you know, the center, the foundation, the anchor of the whole tefillah, and it's also a little bit longer, and we're also standing there silently. So it's very hard to stay focused from beginning to end. We ask Hashem, Hashem, just please open my lips, but my lips almost like metaphorically for my heart, my mind, my soul, that I should be able to daven properly. It's not so easy for me to say the whole Shemona Esrei, and certainly to say it with a level of kavana. And we ask Hashem, therefore, that he should help us, that our davening, we're trying. And it's still not so easy, but Hashem should help make it manageable, make it achievable. So that is, I don't think anything so profound, although I think it's worthwhile to even think about that. When we say Hashem Sefazai Tiftach, to acknowledge that perhaps Chazal understood. And Hashem Sefazai Tiftach goes all the way back to the time of the Gemara. So this is nothing new. But that Chazal understood the challenge of being able to daven properly and with focus and with kavanah, and therefore they inserted this special tefillah before the tefillah, that we daven before we daven, that our davening should be proper. But I'd like to add another layer of meaning or two, because really, anytime we want to understand the pasuk, for example, this pasuk, Hashem Sefasai Tiftach Ufiyagiti Lasachet, comes from a chapter in Tehillim. So to really understand what this pasuk is saying and what it means, we have to look at the context of where it comes from in Tehillim. Anyone have any idea? Because I didn't before I started looking into this a couple of days ago. Hashem Sefasai Tiftach Ufiyagiti Lasachet. See, Tehillim was written by David HaMelech. It's 150 chapters long. And it's really David telling the story of his life, praising Hashem, davening to Hashem. It goes through the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of David's incredibly, just his life that had high highs and low lows. And you can see David's feeling, and you can see David's emotion through his words in Tehillim. So this comes from Tehillim, Perek Nun Aleph, chapter 51. I'll give you a little bit of background, and then when you see the Perek of Tehillim and what David is actually talking about, it completely changes your understanding of this line of Hashem Sefazai Tiftach Ufiyagiti Lasachet. At least it changed mine. See, the story is, I'll say it in brief, and I'm sure you're all, or many of you are familiar with it, but David HaMelech coveted this woman named Bathsheba, and she was married to Uriah. David and Uriah had already some interactions, and David wasn't so fond of Uriah. So David, as the king, had the authority to send Uriah to the front lines of battle. And his plan was, and it worked out, that Uriah got killed in war. And listen, some people get killed in war, unfortunately, and often it's the guys who are standing in front. So David knew what he was doing. And that made Bathsheba available. Uriah's now widow, and David married Bathsheba, and they had one child, and the child unfortunately died as a very young baby, and David was very distraught, of course. Then they had a second child, and that child was Shlomo HaMelech, or Shlomo, who became ultimately Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon. And David, it seems like at the time, and again, it's hard to imagine, but you know, I guess 2020 is whatever, hindsight is 2020, and when you're the king, there's a lot going on, and it's hard to understand really, but David apparently at the time didn't even realize how bad what he was doing indeed was, until Nathan HaNavi, Nathan, Nathan the prophet, came and told David, like pointed out to him, the sins of his ways, the mistakes of his ways. See, each king, each Jewish king had like a Navi who was his, you know, whose job was to point out the king's mistakes, to give Musar and rebuke to the king. And the king was meant to listen to him. And David did listen to Nathan. And eventually, after Nathan pointed it out, David realized and said, I have sinned. Chatasi l'Hashem. I've sinned to Hashem. And he repented. And that's basically the story as the Navi is told. Perek Nun Aleph is David's poetic psalm way of expressing this terrible feeling that he has once he recognizes his sin and the aftermath of that feeling. So let's see if this works again. Nope. Hold on. It's the wrong thing. There we go. This is Tehillim, Parak 51. I'm not going to read the entire thing. I put it in Hebrew and English. Although I know it's hard to look back and forth, bear with me. But this is Lam Natsayach Mizmor Le David. This is a psalm from King David. Can you see it? You can see it on the screen? Thumbs up. Vivo Elav Nathan HaNavi Kasher Ba El Bathsheba. When Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone to Bathsheba. This is what David said. Chaneni Elokim Kechastecha. Be gracious to me, O God, in keeping with your kindness, in accordance with your abounding compassion, erase my transgressions. Herev kabseini me'avoni, u'mechatasita areini. Cleanse me thoroughly of my wrongdoing and purify me of my sin. I underline this line. Ki pisha'ai ani eda, v'chatasi negdi tamid. I acknowledge my sins. My sin is always before me. David realized just how bad what he did was, and he couldn't erase the sin from his mind. Everywhere he looked, he just saw himself messing up. His self-esteem was shattered. He had so much regret, he couldn't shake it. And that's what this whole parak is about. I've sinned to you, I've done what's bad in your eyes. But then it turns to a prayer, because David says, there's only one thing I want. Like David writes in Le David Hashem will read. There's only one thing he wants, which is to have a closer relationship and sit in the house of Hashem. But now he feels uncomfortable doing so because he's done something so bad. Does Hashem want to hear from me anymore? Does Hashem want me in his house? Does Hashem want my tefillos? Lev Tahor, you'll recognize some of these verses. Lev Tahor, Birali Elokim, Beruach Nachon, Chadesh Bekirbi. Hashem, you created me with a pure heart, implying that it's no longer as pure as it once was, perhaps. I've blemished it, but renew me with an upright spirit. Al tashlicheni milfanecha, v'ruach kadshecha al tikach mimeni. Don't cast me away from before you. I still want to connect with you. I'm doing teshuva. I want to be able to daven. I want to be close to you despite my terrible sin. Hashiva li sasoni shecha, v'ruach nedivaches mecheni. Restore to me the joy of your deliverance and uphold me with the spirit of magnanimity. You can read. I'm not going to read the entire thing. It's a little, you can look online or in your sitter if you want. Tehillim Perek 51 if you run and read the entire thing. But then we get to Pasuk Yud Zayin. Hashem sefasai tiftach ufi agid tilasecha. It's almost like, my Lord, open my lips and my mouth shall declare your praise. When seen in context, it becomes clear that David is, he's almost like asking permission again. You know, imagine that you sinned terribly to someone, I don't know, to some person, and now you want to be friends with them again. But you totally understand why maybe they're not interested or why they're really upset at you, justifiably upset at you. And you go to them, and this is what David's doing to Hashem, and he's saying, I messed up so bad, I regret it, I can't shake it, I see it all the time, I'm fully aware, I'm doing teshuva, I want to reconnect with you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to be able to daven to you. I want to be able to sing tefillah to you. I want to be able to praise you. Hashem, Hashem, open my mouth. Show me that it's okay. I sinned. And maybe that doesn't go away. He said, I see that all the time, but I also want to be able to have a relationship with you. And out of your graciousness and out of your kindness, Hashem, allow me to continue to daven and to praise you and to have a relationship despite what I've done. And I think seen in that context, it gives us a whole new insight into Hashem Safasai Tifta, Profi Agiti Lasacha. Now we're coming to Hashem, and sometimes one of the things that holds us back from davening is maybe we feel at some points a little bit hypocritical, guilty, two-faced, unworthy, whatever the word might be. Where we're there to daven to Hashem, it's Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and we know what we've done, and He knows what we've done, and does He really want to hear our tefillos? And our tefillos, are they empty? Are they really meaningful? That's what David was feeling. That's David HaMelech, but he did something hopefully worse than anything any of us have done. And he felt terrible about it. And he had to do tshuva, and we have to do tshuva. It doesn't mean that we get off scot-free from everything else, but Hashem, Hashem, despite what I've done, you know what I've done, and I know, I know what I've done, but Hashem, allow me to still daven to you. And we know that, I mean, that's Perek 51 of Tehillim. There's 100, almost 99 more prakim to go. David continued singing and davening and praising and composing Tehillim for the rest of his life. That, of course, like a parent and a child, like we say in Slichos and throughout the davening, that, of course, no matter what a child does, a parent wants to hear, wants to have a relationship, and wants to hear from their child. So Hashem says to David, of course, what you've done is not okay, but of course you can daven to me, of course you can praise me. So that line almost puts us into the mindset of David HaMelech, that whatever I've done in the past, and whatever I'm still working through currently, and whatever sins are before me that I can't completely shake, but Hashem, I just want to daven to you in this moment. And we create this relationship despite everything else that might have happened, the allowance or the permission that Hashem gives us to daven always. But I'd like to spend the last few minutes on suggestion number three. And this is really why I thought to speak about this before Rosh Hashanah. We're now about 23 hours away or so. 22 hours if you're on the East Coast, something like that. But this tefillah, this line, this pasuk comes up in the Machzor, not just in its usual place before Shmona Esrei, it's there too, but it also pops up one other time in Musaf, each day of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur as well. And it is part of what I mentioned before, a tefillah that's short and you can blink and you miss it. But if you listen closely, it is truly a beautiful tefillah that I think gives us new context and new understanding about what we can think about when we say Hashem Safasai Tiftach Ufi Yagid Tila Secha. And I'm going to see if I can see if this works. Oh, there we go. I don't know if you can see it so well. If you have an Art Scroll Master in front of you, the Rosh Hashanah Master, it's on page 504. Otherwise, you can look it up later, or hopefully you can see it on the screen at least somewhat clearly. One of the reasons that maybe we don't pay so much attention to this tefillah is because really it's a tefillah that's said by the Chazan. You can say it along quietly with the Chazan. There's nothing wrong with that. But primarily it's said by the Chazan. Ochila lakel. Ochila lakel achalefanav. I shall put my hope in God. I shall beseech His presence. Esh alami menu ma'ane lashon. I shall request of Him eloquent speech. Asher bi kahal am ashira uzo, so that I can sing of His strength in the people's congregation. Abia renanos ba'ad mif'alav, that I can express glad songs for the sake of His human creations. Le'adam ma'arche lev, it is for man to arrange his feelings. Umei Hashem ma'ane lashon, but eloquent speech is a godly gift. Hashem sefasai tiftach, ufi yagid tilasecha. My Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. Four lines that the Chazan says in Musaf. And again, you blink and you miss it. What is the message of this?
What's the meaning of the word Ochila?
Ochila. Hope. I place my hope. It's like you say at the end of Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sofais David, Hafachta Mispidi Limachol Li, or Vayachel, it says in the Torah. I place my hope.
I think the Shoresh is Leachel.
What does that mean?
To wish.
Same idea. You're right. Same idea. To wish, to hope. Yeah. Yeah. What's the message of this little tefillah, of these four lines? Man can arrange his feelings and emotions, but Hashem, the eloquence of speech, is a gift from Hashem. I think that part of the idea is that all year round, just life, but let's focus on Rosh Hashanah for the moment. We have all kinds of feelings in our hearts, in our soul, in our, in our kishkas. There are things that we know. There are things that we feel. And sometimes there are things that get stuck there and never come out. I mean, think about it. Maybe Lamashal, but maybe it's not just a mashal. Maybe this is also worthwhile thinking about. But even between people, between human beings, there can be feelings that a person has in their heart, that things that they want to say. Maybe it's words of, maybe it's apologies, or it's words of love or intimacy or whatever it might be, that that people are uncomfortable saying because it makes you feel vulnerable or uncomfortable, or what if it's missaid or misheard? And there are feelings that we can have that are never expressed in words. There are words that need to be like uncovered or almost pushed out. And it's kind of sad to think that there are things that we want to say to each other, maybe. And we'll talk about in a moment to Hashem or to ourselves that we have trouble squeezing out. And one of the things that we're asking Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, is we have certain stirrings in our heart. There are things that we want to say, and we're asking Hashem to help us bring them out. Listen, my feelings are mine. Li'adam ma'arachei lev. But the ability to put those feelings into words is something that is often very difficult, almost seems sometimes beyond basic human ability. It's certainly not something that we can do without Hashem's help. And especially in a time like Rosh Hashanah, when we're Yom Kippur, when we have a certain clarity of what we want our life to be and what decisions we want to make and certain regrets and things we want to change. And one of the reasons that we all know so often, those feelings and thoughts that we have are fleeting, and within a day or two, they're kind of gone until next Rosh Hashanah, is because they just remain thoughts. As long as they remain just thoughts or feelings and they're not brought out into the next level, into the world of speech and subsequently the world of action, then there's nothing to hold them. There's nothing to actually give them continuation or existence. We've talked about before. I gave a whole drasha about it a couple of Rosh Hashanahs ago, so I'm not going to... I think we spoke about it on Pesach time also, about the three levels of expression that the Kabbalists talk about in the world: Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa, thought, speech, and action. And so often we think about what seems like the most difficult of the steps, which is actually putting our thoughts and speech into action. Action always seems like the hardest, because it's easy to think things, it's easy to say things, but to actually do the things that we think and we say is often thought to be the most complicated level. But I think it's also just as, maybe more complicated sometimes, getting from speech to, from thought to speech. That is also a major step. And I think that's the step of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. There's very little action that we do on any of these days. It's just thought and speech, really. These are days of Machshava and Dibur. These are days to dig into our hearts, to find those feelings that we have, those truths that we know, those things that we want. And the first step is to put them into speech. That's this words of tefillah, that's speaking to Hashem, that's speaking to myself. That even means during tefillah, adding my own words and just talking directly to Hashem. The Ramban says that the word for lips, Hashem sifasai, safa, sfat, is the same as the word like Sfat Hayam, like the banks of the sea, the coast. Because what the coast does, what the bank does, is it keeps all of the water in so that it doesn't, usually at least, I know there was some flooding this week, but usually the water stays where the water is supposed to be because the banks sort of keep it, it's a boundary, it's a block. That's its purpose. And our lips sometimes serve as like this final block, this final fence. Like there are things that we want to say, that we want to do, that we feel inside, and we're asking Hashem, open that block. There's something, maybe this mental block, this physical block, to actually put it into words, to actually say it, to actually do it is a whole new level of difficulty. And we ask Hashem, Hashem, sefasai tiftach, not just help me focus on the words, not just give me permission to daven, but to really help me access the deepest feelings of my heart and soul, and to be able to actually put them into words, actually give them some lastingness. The great thinkers say that when you take a thought and you put it into words, it gives it some existence in this world. And even if then it seems like it's fleeting and it's gone, but it's there. So it'll be there. It'll be there for you in a few days, in a few weeks. It's a part of you because it's not just something that's inside, but it's something that's been expressed and that now exists in the world in a whole different way. So this little four-sentence tefillah, Ochila Lokel, firstly, when the Chazan is saying it, hopefully we'll all at the very least notice it and pay attention and listen. Sometimes when the Chazan is davening, we assume, and I do the same thing sometimes instinctively, but that's the relaxing time, that's the spacing until we get to the next part that says the congregation. But the Chazan is saying it, then it's probably something that we're supposed to listen to and think about and internalize. And plus, words like these, Ochila Lokel, you can say along quietly with the Chazan if you want. But at the very least, to understand its message, that when we say Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, level number one, we're asking Hashem, just help me focus. It's very hard to keep my mind from business, from food or lunch or sports or whatever my mind wanders to in the middle of davening. I want to really think about the words in front of me. I want to think about the tefillah. Hashem, help me have kavana. And secondly, to think about David HaMelech, who felt unworthy of being able to daven after what he had done, and was just asking Hashem, please allow me, give me the permission, give me the ability, give me the strength to be able to continue davening even after what I've done. And we should think about that too. Whatever we've done this past year, Hashem wants to hear from us again. And he gives us permission. And we ask him that we should be able to start again and start fresh and be able to continue davening even if we've messed up in the past. And thirdly, and perhaps at least I felt maybe most poignantly, at least for Rosh Hashanah, when we're thinking about this pasuk and this little tefillah of Ochila Lokel and Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, as we say it in Rosh Hashanah, we ask Hashem that we should have the humility and the vulnerability and the honesty, the guts to be able to take whatever deep feelings we have in our heart, that even though our instincts, our human nature is telling us just let it stay there and go on with your life as regular, but we ask Hashem that He should give us the courage, the power, the koach to be able to actually open our lips, to open the banks, to let the water flow out, to let the truths of our heart flow out, to actually take our thoughts and put them into words. So, with that being said, I would like to, as I mentioned before, and that is the end of my shiur, so if anyone needs to go, I'm done speaking. But if you have 3 more minutes to stick around, I don't think you'll regret it. I'm happy to post the link in the chat or to send it to anybody if you want to watch the whole thing. But I'm going to play a 3-minute clip of a tune to this song, which I was listening. It's a famous tune, and it's sung by many people, but this is a clip that I enjoyed watching this morning. There's nothing like music and tunes to get us into the spirit for Yamim Noraim. So here goes. I hope this works. Again, if it doesn't work, I can share it with you privately after if you're interested. I'm going to play 3 minutes and then I'll come back and we'll say Laila Tov. Shalom imenu, madelosu, kulfi lo.
Yeah.